Good afternoon, everybody. First of all, it's great to see everybody. You know, it's one of the wonderful things. I had the pleasure of seeing many of you when I was in New York a couple weeks ago, and that's great. You know, it's so nice seeing, you know, friends, and you guys are doing so nicely, so there's that thing also. So that's nice, so thanks. Number one. Number two, and it's great to see you back here at Shalom for Women. It's a nice thing for me. For me, it's nice when I get to see you in America, you know, so that makes me happy. And it's also nice for me to see you seeing me here, because that's nice, not that it's necessarily nice to see me, but it's nice to for you to be in Israel, which is nice, you know what I'm trying to say. Okay, I've been doing, for those of you who have been, hi, Kershon Turetsky. Those of you who have been here before for our illustrious and famous Bogro program, may or may not have picked up on the fact that when we do a Bogro program, many of the teachers they give hashkafa or machshav or speaking about Tu B'Shvat. She stole my shir this morning. Many of you, joking, it was really her shir.
She stole my shir.
I stole her and then she stole it right back from me underneath my eyes. So what I've decided to do the last few years, instead of doing like a parsha topic or an inspirational topic, which is very important, I'm not trying to say that stuff is important. It's of critical importance. I like to learn some halacha. I like to do a little refresher of a different topic of halacha. I did bishul for a couple years, and I figure since you're back here in Shalvim and you are back to the grind, I should probably review some halachas of tochein. Oh. Anybody? Anybody? Okay. Those of you who are in my Hilchos Shabbos class, certainly might have learned, you've learned this with me. I don't know if you learned this exact Maror Makomos, but it's possible that you did in one shape or form. I'm sure we discussed the Malach of Tochein. Those of you who are not in my Hilchos Shabbos class, I'm sure you learned it in Rabbi Haber's class. You guys are in Tochein. Right? Or Feldman's class. Tochein is not, it's one of those crucial topics.
Thank you.
I'm trying not to make another corny joke about Tochein. Okay. We have until 4:15, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So let's just start. We'll learn and we'll talk and, you know, we'll try to get some halacha down. And of course, raise your hands. It's like the old days. Feel free to make any comments or whatever, as long as they're semi-constructive. So when we learn the halacha of Shabbos, you guys with me?
Yep.
Yeah. Jet lag, long day?
No, we're really excited for you.
Okay, stop it. The first thing, what I want to start is a little bit of introduction. What is Tochein? How do we define Tochein? We know that often the way that we define or describe, the way that we define a word from when we translate it from Hebrew to English doesn't necessarily convey the same meaning. So Tochein in English means to what? To grind. But what is the malacha of Tochein? How do we define what the Isser of Tochein really is? Grinding, Tochein, grinding. How do we define what the Isser really is? So for that, the Rambam helps us out. This is in Rambam, Perish HaMishnayot, Shabbat, Perek Zayin Mishnebet. Again, this is Perish. Inyan Tochein Hu, now this is going to be good, we know, because Inyan Tochein Hu means he's going to tell us what it really is. Inyan Tochein Hu, what is Tochein? Tchinat Chelek Gadol Vafichato Chalakim Ketanim. It's taking something large and making it into Chalakim Ketanim. What's Chalakim Ketanim? Smaller parts. Lefikach, therefore, Chituch HaYirakot B'Shabbat. Therefore, if you cut vegetables in Shabbos, oh, nisirata eitz lakachat nisirot shelo. I think that means if you like sand or you cut wood very, very small. Oh, shifata matechel lakachat nisirot shelo, or you sand or you grind off metal. Oh, bokia eitzim, or cutting firewood, lahasaka for fire. Kol zeh toldot tochein. That is all. This is what Tochein really is. Or this is the Toldot of Tochein. This is an offshoot of the Malach of Tochein. So if I had to ask you after learning this Rambam, I'll slow down, I'm sorry. If I had to ask you after learning this Rambam to define for me the Malach of Tochein, what would you say?
Chopping.
Chopping, or you're not wrong.
Reducing
its size is not bad either.
Dicing.
What?
Dicing.
Well, you're getting very technical. Taking something large and through a cutting process, make it into something small. Wait, is that what you were thinking? Excellent. Everyone here was correct, because you're always right. So Tochein, at least according to the Rambam, is you have something big and you make it into smaller pieces. That's Tochein. The Shulchan Aruch then tells us based upon the Rambam, but the Shulchan Aruch tells us very clearly, this is a number, no number, right? These are numbered well. Hamachate chayerek dak dak. If you cut a vegetable into small pieces, chay mishum tochein. That is tochein. So cutting a vegetable into small pieces is tochein. So at this point, we're all wondering what? At least I'm wondering. What are we wondering?
How small?
How small? Or how can we cut vegetables? That's true. Some of us are wondering how can we cut vegetables, but what we should be wondering when we're trying to define the Isser is, what does dak-dak mean? What is, aside from a game that kids sometimes play together with a goose? You did it! Yeah, I did. So, how do we define dak-dak? How small is teensy-tiny small? Please stop rolling your eyes at me. I'm chad-de-herg dak-dak. Yeah, so it's fine. So, the Be'er Halacha, who wrote the Be'er Halacha? Yafeh. The Gemara Isa Amar Rav Papa. The Gemara quotes from Rav Papa. Hai man de paris silka. What's silka? Anyone knows? Selek?
A leek.
It's a beet, isn't it? Beets?
Oh yeah, you're right.
Okay. No, I could be wrong. Hai man de paris silka. A person who cuts up beets. Chayav mishum tochein. He has chayav mishum tochein. Perish Rashi. Rashi explains paris mechadcho dak dak. What does it mean, the paris silka, that you cut up selek, you cut up beets? Is that you cut them dak dak into small pieces. V'kach kasav atosvos, demayir b'chaticho ktanot. We have to, you're only over the iser, the araisa, if you cut them into small pieces. Chaticho ktanot. Ke'en tchina, like grinding. Ava b'chaticho gedolot, but if you cut something into larger pieces, gedolot ktzad, a little bit larger, ein derech hatchina b'kach. That's not considered to be tochin. Kachkos of Harambam, dak dak. So the Rambam also used the language of dak dak. So up to this point, the Be'er Halacha is telling us that to be over the Issa de Arayis, so you have to cut it to really small pieces, or, as Maddie said, to dice. You have to dice it. Dice it. You know those people who they dice? You know what I'm talking about, right? We're not talking about, hey, lucky number sevens. Okay. Small pieces. But then the Be'er Halacha gives us... And the Be'er Halacha says something that becomes... start again. Then the Be'er Halacha says something very problematic for us. So great, so we're fine. As long as we don't dice, we're fine. Aval le'inyon iser. But that, dicing into small pieces, that's all when it comes to the iser de'araisa, the Torah prohibition. Aval le'inyon iser. But when we speak about iser de'rabanan, yesh li zaher me'od bazeh. Be very, very careful about this. Tikvar kasov the Sefer Yireim, as the Sefer Yireim says, La Rabbi Lezer Mimentz, the Shiur Dakutan Lo Noda Lanu. We of small minds do not really know how to translate, how to define dak dak. So although the Issur D'Araisa is only when you put it into teensy teensy weensy pieces, nonetheless, since we don't know what teensy weensy means, however small you cut it, at least at first glance, the Be'er Halacha seems to say, however small you cut it, you might be over an Isser Derabanan at least. So we're left with a $1 million question, which Pamela raised before, is how do you cut vegetables on Shabbos? How do you cut vegetables on Shabbos? So it all comes back. Yafet. So that's just to keep in mind. Up to this point, Maramaka number one introduced us and defined first the Malach of Tochei. Maramaka number two told us how Lachalama. Is it warm in here?
She's
so.
You don't want her to have a baby.
I was more worried about it throwing up, but maybe the baby thing.
Is it not Malach?
Yeah. Okay. Fine. And then we saw the Be'er Halacha who says, you're right, the issue is only when you cut it dak dak into small pieces, but we do not know how to define dak dak, so we are up a creek without a paddle. Just another important point to mention, we discussed this, or what?
A terrible situation.
Do you want to put on the air conditioning?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. I'm not sitting near you, so I don't care. Just a final point, just in terms of defining the Melacha of Tochein, there's a famous tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein who was asked the following question. You have bananas, some of you might say. You have bananas. You don't really chop, I guess you can chop bananas, but when you want to feed a baby bananas, what do? You mush it up. You mash it up. You mash it or you mush it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked whether or not mashing is part of the Melacha of Tochein or not. And Rav Moshe says something so profound. Look with me in number four. It's not really a number, but number four. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, "Lakach lo shayach la'asur risuk bananot kedei la'achil ha'tinokot samach la'achilatan." Moshe says, "No problem of chopping bananas or, excuse me, mashing bananas." Aval risuk ha'bananot niresh ein la'asur af v'shitat ha'chazon ish de'ein hatir af samach la'achila bedak dak ketchinat mamish. We skip that for now. That's very. I don't want to get into that now. The inyan tchinahu. Rav Moshe says, "What is tochein? Hu keshen na'asu peirurin urisisin dakin." Ketichinat hakemach, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, grinding is when you take something that was in one piece and you make it into very fine, smaller pieces. But ukedom lezeh, he says, ukedom lezeh, e'efshar la'asot adei mazleg v'kaf El dinashar rak chadichat achat. When it comes to mashing up bananas, you don't take something that was large and then cut it into smaller pieces. You just, what do? You spread it out. You smooth it out. It all remains one large entity. But when you grind something, when you would grind wheat, or when you'd grind carrots, or when you'd grind whatever it is that you grind, peppers, right? It's no longer one entity. It becomes many entities. So Rav Moshe says, important in terms of knowing the definition of the melacha of tochein, it's when you take something solid and make it to a number of different solid pieces. But when you mash, mash doesn't spread it out into different pieces. Mash, it all still remains one entity, although the entity has taken a new form. One time a girl asked me if this is an isra of like memachik and memareach, very good when it comes to bananot, but thank God it's not the class discussing that topic, so I can just avoid it by saying, we'll talk about it a different time, which might be next year or something like that. Okay, good. Any she'ilot up to this point in terms of our definition of tochein? Are we all understanding the tochein? That's a Hebrew joke. There. Anybody? Yes, Tara. Johnny?
No, I know the answer, but
great.
I don't have a question.
Tara?
I have a question.
Okay.
Wait, no. Okay. You're allowed to mash a banana, right? It's according to Rav Moshe, but can you like mash a avocado? I know there's like a whole...
So avocado's a whole, yeah, whole discussion. I don't know. It's a good question.
Why is it the same thing?
Maybe it's for the baby.
It's
for the baby.
You're making it one larger.
It should be one. It shouldn't be another.
But there's a pit, so you have to
try
it.
There's a peel on a banana.
Let me look. I know there's an issue with it. I don't remember off the top of my head. I'll look into it. Right after class.
Okay,
send us a message.
Yeah.
Use the bat.
Yeah, so the truth is, you know, it's also a little bit not fair. I only gave you a little part of Moshe. It's a much larger discussion. You know, this is just in terms of illustrative purposes. It's a good question. Should I get you a good answer? Okay.
Could you put like a piece off of the just for the knife?
Yeah, yeah. I think that'd be okay. I want to get to the reason why that's okay in a second.
Okay.
Good. Sorry, I'm stressing you out.
No, fine.
Lovely. Okay. Now, when we discuss tochein, so up to this point, we're all worried, like Pamela was. How do you cut vegetables in Shabbos? Look, I have kids. My children love cucumbers. I don't know why. My kids love cucumbers. Well, now I can't cut a cucumber on Shabbos, or else I'll be over the issue of tochein. What do we do? So for the rest of the remainder of our time together today, we're going to discuss some heterim, some leniency, some kulas that exist within the world of tochein, which will hopefully clarify a lot of the issues for us and help us being able to really understand it very, very well. Says, the first heter that exists is Ein Tchina Ela B'Gidulei Karka. What does that mean? That the prohibition of tochein only exists to things or with things that grow from the ground. Only exists with things that grow from the ground. So based upon that, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Aruch Chaim, Siman Shin Chaf Aleph, Sif Tes, number 2 on Yomar Makomot, which is really number 5, Mutar Lachtoch Basar Mivushal Tzali. You may cut, what's Basar Mivushal? Or Tzali?
Roasted
meat. You can cut either cooked meat or roasted meat. Dak bisakin. You can take your meat and cut it into very, very teensy weensy pieces. So the question is why? We all know the answer, but the Mishnah Berurah would tell us. Mutar lachtoch de'ein tchina ela begedulei karka. Because tochein only exists when you are grinding things that grow from the ground. Now it says something interesting, which I guess we'll just read for fun. Now there are some poskim who say that a cow or animals really do grow from the ground. Try this in your biology classes. Because it derives its nutrients, thank you very much, from the ground. But that wouldn't apply here. Etc. So the Mishnah Berurah says, even according to those poskim who do believe that perhaps we should consider a cow to be something that grows from the ground, nonetheless, there wouldn't be an issue here and you'd be allowed to grind the meat. I remember my father used to tell us when we were kids that that chocolate milk comes from chocolate cows, and chocolate cows, of course, grow on chocolate trees. And apparently what he was saying is based upon Chazal, so at least partially. Okay. Now that being said, if we truly do believe in the Shulchan Aruch, and we believe that Ein Tochein Ela B'Gidulei Karka, the next Mar Malkum poses a difficult question for us. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Chaf Aleph Sif Yud, meaning one sif later, Asur Ligro Hagvina B'Shabbat B'Moreg Charutz Baal Pipiyot Shekoren Ralav, which basically means Asur Ligro. What does Ligro mean?
Great.
To direct, you're cheating. You're right. You're guessing based upon context. The growing to drag. Certainly, gror ha-gvina, what's gvina? We all know this. Cheese. B'shabbat, b'morig charutz, with some kind of a utensil that is, I don't know, charutz ba pipiot, that has holes in it, like little mouths in it, which is a
great
answer. Masur legror gvina b'shabbat b'morig charutz ba pipiot shekorin ralav. You can't use a grater. You can't grate cheese in Shabbos. So this is a problem. Why is this a problem? Because where does cheese grow from? Not the ground. No, I don't know about in Chicago they have cheese trees, but by us cheese grows from the cow. That's utterly disgusting, but it does. Oh, good. So Maddie points out correctly what's missing from this line of Shulchan Aruch. What does the Shulchan Aruch not say? Shulchan Aruch does not say it's usher because of Tochen. All it says that's usher. So why is it usher if it's not usher because of Tochen? So let's jump to the Mishnah Berurah. Figuratively, not literally. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Belashon Acher, Riv Eisen. In other words, a Riv Eisen. I don't know, what is a Riv Eisen? Eisen is like, it's a metal. What is it? Iron. Rib Eisen, maybe ribbed. I don't know, ribbed piece of iron. I don't know. Decay when death. The reason why, says the Mishnah Berurah, the reason why you can't grate cheese has nothing to do with the cheese. The kevon shaklim yuchad lekach, because it's a special type of utensil that is specifically used for grating cheese. Hare ze derech chol. This because what's called quote unquote a weekday activity, bedaming a schikat tavlin, and it becomes very much like grinding spices. Bemachteshet with a grinder. Who I did mekli achirim yuchad lekach. Any utensil that is set aside for chol activity. Therefore, it's totally forbidden to use it on Shabbos. But you would be allowed to cut cheese into little pieces with a knife. So, as Maddie appropriately and correctly pointed out, cutting the cheese isn't a problem of the grinder. It's a problem of the. Oh boy, that's low. It's a problem of using the grinder, not a problem of grinding. Yes.
Let's say you for Shabbos say I'm setting aside this grater for Shabbos. Like it's like, you know, like I can set something aside and say like this is like what I want to use for Shabbos, but before it's not a weekday or like a nothing activity.
It's a good question. I don't have a good answer. In general, this topic of klim yuchad l'chol, I never really was able to put my hands around. It's a very difficult, because like, what isn't? Why is a peeler not? Why is, I don't know. It seems to be that they're just...
Some people say with toothbrush, but like, just, I
don't get why. Yeah, sort of a Chabavadia says that you have to have a special toothbrush for it seems to be that there's just a little bit, I don't know. There's some utensils which for whatever reason have been decided, they're decided they're klim yuchad l'chol. I don't know why. It'd make a good shear to give. Like, why some kalim? There's a discussion also in the post about egg slicers. The Mishnah Berurah, egg slicers. So why is that a kli for chol? Mishnah Berurah says because it's not an egg slicer. Just a bunch of knives put together on a... What's the difference?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, in Hilchos Mukta, Mukta Machmas Gufo. Some utensils Mukta Machmas Gufo. Money is Mukta Machmas Gufo. Sticks are Mukta Machmas Gufo. Rocks are Mukta Machmas Gufo. But why?
Come and
say that it is. Right, yeah. So I don't, it could be. Very good question. Yes, Atara. Or should I say Shani, but she left the room. Maybe she left the room because you're going to ask the question. Yes.
Let's say someone else. Grind something, or you know, grate some cheese, or whatever. If it's near on any day, you want to eat from.
So I'll tell you what I would suggest. It's a great question. I would suggest don't try not to like know.
Just don't ask.
But don't, you know? It's always safe not to go into other people's kitchens, especially on Shabbos.
Right. But if you did know, you shouldn't eat it. Because
we'll get to a little bit later.
It's inherently, you know, is or is it that the person shouldn't do it? That's what I'm saying. Because what's so inherently is a grated cheese? It's the action that's the problem.
But then you're benefiting by their isur.
Right, yeah. But if you don't care, it's just part of the food.
There could be a problem. Look, if they know that it's usher, if they know that it's usher, always. If they know that it's usher,
right.
then for sure it's a problem.
Oh, by the way, she's aware that I'm reading cheese.
Right, if they don't know that it's usher, then there might be some more wiggle room. Could be. Yeah. Okay, so now we discuss the Hagdama, we introduce the topic, we then discuss Ein Tchina B'Gdoli Karka, that the prohibition of Tochin only exists when you have something that grew from the ground. And the next heter is Ein Tochin Achar Tochin, is once you can grind, you can regrind. This is pretty straightforward, pretty simple. Check this out. The Ramah, Aruch Chaim Siman Shin Chaf Aleph Sif Yud Bet, says as follows: Ava mutar lefarer lechem lefia tarnagolim. You're allowed to crumble up bread in front of roosters, in front of your chickens, your roosters. The hoel kvar nitchan ein lachosh, because the bread was already ground. When was the bread ground up?
The wheat
was ground, then you add in some water and whatever it is, and you know, yeast and eggs and all that type of stuff, and then you make the bread. Ein tochen achar tochen. So you're allowed to regrind bread, you're allowed to smush up the bread, because there's no iser of tochen achar tochen. The same reason why you do with matzah, you know, you get a soup. In you want to have crumbled up matzah in your soup. So why is that, assuming that you eat kebrach? So why is that mutter? Because ein tochen achar tochen. The matzah is already ground up. Or you want to smush up some cookies. All these things are going to be mutter because ein tochen achar tochen. I saw a hand. Yeah.
Is there any significance that it says that it's for an animal, or are you just giving?
I knew when you saw your hand up. I knew you were going to ask that question.
We run into problems with my dogs.
Yes.
Or that's not your
important approach.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He doesn't have animals in
the house. I don't know that. I do, but they're people. Speaking of my child, a quick story about one of my kids. Tippy, so we just moved, and so I was taking my svarim out of boxes and putting them back on shelves. So Tippy, she walks in, so I'm about halfway done. Tippy walks in and she starts like nodding her head. I said, Tippy, what's wrong? She says, the colors are all wrong here. The pink should be with the pinks, and the blue should be with the blues. And that's cute. And then she just kept looking at it like it just doesn't. Not many. Neely has some, like one. But you know, the most different colors. Okay. I'm happy that story went off really well. Okay. Thanks. I think my children are cute and adorable.
Yeah, that was really cute.
Thank you.
It wasn't like a reaction. Like,
it wasn't. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's an insight.
We're shopping.
Yes, you're all crying. And
smiled.
Yafe. Okay. Okay, now, if that's true, we just said, ain't tochen achar tochen, I pose to you the following question. Look at the Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, Siman Shin Bet Ziv Zayin. It says as follows. Teach al bigdo, if you have mud on your garment, Meshav shafomi befnim below muchacham milsol et chuzik melabein. You can like rub it from the inside, whatever that means. You can like scrape it off from the inside of your shirt or your coat or whatever it might be on, and it won't look like melabein, like you're cleaning it. Avalo bechutz, but don't smush it off on the outside of your garment. Dami le melabein, because then it looks like you're laundering it. Megaro betziporen, but you could scrape it off with your fingernail if you want one of those like long fingernails.
But you can scrape off dirt with your fingernail.
But the Meforshim explained that only applies to wet mud. Mud that's still wet, not dry mud. If you have wet mud, or you have ketchup, you sneeze on your shirt, whatever it is, so you can drag it off with your fingernail, you can use a knife, whatever it is that works for you. How Aval says the Shulchan Aruch, Yavesh, if there is dry mud on your shirt or your blouse or whatever it is, asur, then you may not scrape it off to habi tochein, because that's tochein. If you would scrape off a dry patch of mud on your shirt or on your skirt or whatever it is that people wear these days, that would be a problem because of tochein. If you scrape it off, you're going to end up grinding off that mud. So what's the question?
Talk it out.
What do you mean?
Because like it's already... Mud is pieces of dirt and it's already like ground up. It's not one thing that you're grinding up. Again, it's just dirt, and then it made a hard form of dirt, and then you make it back into dirt.
Very good. It should be very similar to the case of bread, no?
Yeah.
So what's the difference? What do you think the difference is between the mud and the, possibly, but no. Not bad. Yeah.
Well, who, like, grind it up with mud?
Okay, that's one answer. One answer is the mud was never really ground. It was ground, but it was never really went through a grinding process. Good. There's another answer. Excellent. Yeah?
And it's like straight from the ground, is that anything? Because it's the only thing that comes from the ground, and it's not like bread that came once from the ground.
Not bad. That's not what I'm looking for, but not bad. What else, yeah?
That it totally takes on a different consistency when it goes from being rocks to mud.
You're on the right track. I wouldn't say you rocked it, but you're on the right track. Thank you. What else? Let me ask you a question, a leading answer. A question that leads to an answer. When you mush up your bread, When you grind up your bread or your matzah, does it revert to wheat?
No.
No, it's now just pieces of
bread.
But when it comes to mud, what happens when you grind it up?
It goes like that.
It reverts to its original state. So perhaps we can suggest the reason why it's a problem to grind up the mud, the dry mud on your shirt, because when you grind up the dry mud on your shirt, it reverts back to its original state. But something like matzah or a max baked good, those of you who were there when that was happening, that'd be very different, because you can never regrind it back to its original state of wheat. But when it comes to mud, you'd be able to grind it up and it would revert to its original state. Does that make sense? You guys with me? No, doesn't mean
no,
meaning.
No,
hey, let's say you have mud, you have dirt, you add water, then what does it become?
Mud.
And then you dry it, and now it's a chunk of mud.
Okay.
Now let's say I grind it back up. What does it become again?
If you put water in it.
Mud. Now it's all dry, and I grind it up again. What does it become?
Dirt.
Everything's dry. It becomes dirt. So it was dirt, then it was mud, and then it goes back to dirt. Now let's say I have bread. I grind up wheat.
Okay.
And then I bake the wheat.
Right.
And make bread, and I regrind it. Does it go back to its original state of being wheat?
No. If it's already dry dirt on your shirt, it's going to be dirt whether it comes off or it's on your shirt.
Yeah. So.
So what's the problem?
You're grinding it.
Because it's in one chunk of dirt. You're making it into a little.
It's not
bit.
Your shirt. It's still dirt. The same way bread is still bread when you.
Yeah, but it's ground up dirt. You ground it.
Bread then?
No.
Because it's not reverting to any original state. It's still.
That's why I'm suggesting that it's not a problem, because it's not reverting to its original state, whereas the mud is reverting to its original state. That's
but
it.
You can't take off wet mud.
No, but I'd rather be able to take mud
wet
off.
Wet mud, you're not grinding it.
Oh, wait, wet mud, you're not.
You're not grinding. I'm talking about dry mud.
Just considering. I'm not going to get mud.
Yeah.
Scraping off from within the shirt, that was the dry mud.
Wet.
Dry, you can't
do it. Dry is a little bit problematic. Yeah. General cleaning is problematic. Like cleaning,
yeah,
they always say, you know, everyone wears like black clothing on Shabbos. So I heard quoted that it's the Yetzirah makes the Jew wear black clothing on Shabbos, because then when you have dirt on you, you should wear white, right? The Kabbalistics, the Kabbalists, they wear white garments on Shabbos.
No, because like dirt shows on your.
You know.
Yeah, but
I never had the guts to do it, to walk into the Beis Medrash Shalvim wearing all white garments.
I think it's the opposite.
No, but if you have like dirt, let's say, you know, you walk outside. I hear what you're saying. You might show more on the white, but you know, you walk.
You're more tempted to clean the white, but like that's what falls on my like black shirt.
I hear. I wear black, my suits on Shabbos, so like whenever my kids will like step on my cuff or something like that, and there'll be that big footprint of dirt on my, you know what I'm saying? I hear. Shoot this. Right. Yeah, I guess so. Lose.
He's dirty,
yeah. Okay. Questions? Okay, so we learned a couple things so far. We learned what tochi means, cutting it dot into small pieces. We learned about ein tochen el begduli karka, and we just learned now ein tochen achar tochen. So you can grind up, you can shmush up your matzah to go inside your soup. Now the most important hetter when it comes to tochen is miyad. What does miyad mean?
For
immediate consumption. Exactly. One of the questions on my smicha test when I got smicha was, which malachos does the hetter of miyad apply to? Obviously, we all know what it applies to.
Bo rare.
And but it also applies to Tochen. So I got that one right. Baruch Hashem. Got a 68 instead of 65. Jokes. I'm joking. It wasn't graded. Okay. Miyad. Miyad. So the Ramah tells us in Arachaim Simen Shin Chafal Sif Yud Bet. Aval im le'echlo miyad, but if you want to eat immediately, hakol shari, then any form of grinding is going to be mutter. Any form of grinding is going to be mutter, but not, of course, we have to keep in mind that any form of grinding implement will be mutter. So you still can't use a cheese thing, you still can't use a grinder like the pepper grinder, but grinding itself with a knife at least is not going to be problematic. Mide de havia borer, just like borer le'achol miyad de shari, which would you allow you to do a miyad. Okay, so the Ramah says that the heter of miyad applies to tochein, and it allows you to grind for immediate consumption.
So shouldn't like avocado guacamole not be an issue if you're eating it right away?
Yeah, assuming that tochein's not the problem, then it could be okay. The Chazon Ish isn't the biggest fan of miyad. Maybe if you use the back of the spoon, it's a big topic.
That's how you mash things, anyways, though.
Yeah,
she knows she'd be the apple.
No. Handle.
Use a fork.
Not the fork flipped over. The handle of the fork.
But really.
Maybe not Memphis. I need a grubby southern handle over my silverware. Joking. Yes. Not really joking. What?
No.
The handle of a spoon is not like a fork?
I mean, no, it's like a sharp, it's like a knife.
What kind of...
Again, haven't looked in a while, but it's my impression that... According to the Chazon Ish, that's enough of a shinoi to make it mutter. Look, if we had more time...
Listen, I'm not going to argue.
You can argue.
I'll think
all right, cool, yes.
So if you need that second, you should do it.
Well, that's my next question is, if you all remember from Hilchos Shabbos class, how do you define miyad? What does miyad mean? What does 4 minute consumption mean? Oh, good. So it means right away. But what are the four different shitos about how we define miyad?
How long it takes you to walk.
Okay, so one, not next meal, but upcoming meal. So one shita is that miyad means, 4 minute consumption means that you are preparing for the meal that's about to take place, which is, of course, a very subjective definition. So, for example, you're having, thank you, you're having the Turetskys over, so you're having me and Neil and our kids, so it'll take you, I don't know, 25 minutes to prepare a salad for the meal. You're having all of Shalvin for Women 2011 or 12 or whatever year you're from, or 2000, whatever it is. So that would take you more time, 70 girls, Baruch Hashem, it would take you 3 hours to prepare. So depending upon how much you need to prepare, define how much time you can prepare within. So if it would take you 2 hours to prepare for a meal, so you have 2 hours where you're allowed to do grind or to do bowl rare. That's the definition of miyad. That is the famous shita of Rav. Close. If I spoke mumble, I'll give you a hint. His first name is Moshe, last name is Feinstein. Excellent, or Moshe Feinstein. There are other shitos. We have one Sephardic sister in the room. Any other Sephardic sisters in the room? One Sephardic sister in the room. So there's a famous tshuva of Chaim Avad Yosef. Chaim Avad Yosef says, how much time is miyad? Miyad is the amount, I think, is the amount of time. Excellent! Yafet. The amount of time it would take you to, we can all throw up our hands in victory. Oh, the amount of time that it would, Victor, we could do a Victoria dance. It was the thank you. The amount of time it would take for you to walk home from shul. So if you are Sephardic or plan on marrying a Sephardic, it's the amount of time. So depending, again, it's also a little bit subjective. You live next door to the shul, you live 5 miles away from the shul, woo. So it all depends on how far from the shul that's. Yeah.
But that's preparing in general.
No, that's a borer and tochim. Anything that is the heter miyad exists for would apply within that, those time frames.
Is it only those two?
As far as I can remember, yeah. Yeah.
Isn't there a problem making it super subjective like that, though?
No.
A lot of people are. Because like, it depends how long it takes to walk home from school. Does it depend on the individual or the average?
Average. The average individual.
Like, it's obviously not taking you like 3 hours to walk home from
school. Yeah, it doesn't bother me so much. Right here. Two other shitos in terms of miyad, two very objective shitos. Anyone want to help me out here? You guys remember it?
Yes.
One was from the, one was from, no, not bad. 60 minutes, who's that?
That first name didn't answer.
60 minutes, 1 hour, I believe. I could be wrong. I believe the 60 minutes is the Avni Nezer. The Avni Nezer would probably list 60 minutes. Who is he the father of? Shem Yishmuel. Who is his father-in-law? Who's his father-in-law? Starts with, it's a blank Rebbe. First name starts with a K. Close. Kutzka Rebbe. He says, I believe he says an hour, and the Chazon Ish says you have a half hour. Those are the four shitas in terms of miyad. Important to keep in mind, we the Ashkenazics among us, we hold like Ramosha, however long it takes to prepare for the meal. The Sephardic sisters among us, or those of you who plan on one day marrying a Sephardic sister, brother, you have, keep that in mind as well. Okay. Oh boy. Okay. Says the Mishnah Berurah, a great line in the Mishnah Berurah. He tells us as follows: why should the heter of miyad exist when it comes to melach of tochein? He says as follows: Hatam de lo shayach sham tchina kishemechatech besakin ela batochein haniach. The reason is because the isra of tochein, again, assuming you're using a knife, because it sounds like anything but a knife would have a problem of uvdin dechol. The reason why tochein doesn't apply. But for immediate consumption, for sure, it's mutter. Because the Torah is going to tell us how large or small we have to cut the food on our plate. That's ridiculous. Well, now look, you like I don't know what vegetable you like. Tomatoes. Yeah. What? Cucumbers.
Green peppers. No, yeah. No, red peppers.
Yeah, green and red. You have a cornucopia of peppers on your plate. So what? So I have to be very careful. Okay, we all like peppers. I have to be very careful at the size that I cut the food on my plate. So the Mishnah was ridiculous. in preparation for a meal is considered part of the eating process. And Torah is not going to tell us how big or small you have to cut the pieces of the food that we're going to be eating right now. Tochen is only a problem if it's for later. I'm cutting this up for later. This is something I'm going to do later on. But right now on my plate, that's not going to be a problem. For sure that's going to be mutter, so you can feel free. As long as it's miyad for immediate consumption, you'd be allowed to cut the vegetables as small or as large as you like. Alkin habidere chachila sobekach, that's just the way you eat. Yeah.
How come sometimes halacha is like, oh, obviously the Torah would never like tell us that we can't do that, but like there are plenty of other things that halacha tells us to do that like is annoying, and you would say like they should just let us do it that way.
And you have to. First of all, it's a good question. Sounds like a great topic for a PhD paper, right? The subjective and objective subjectiveness of halacha, maybe something like that. I don't know.
Get to work.
You have to get. No, I have my PhD ready. you have to go through. I'm not joking. It's a great topic. Go through Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berurah, bring examples, and try to figure out common denominator between them. It's great. You become very famous in a limited circle. Yes.
Can you cut extra purposely knowing that you're
going
to have
to?
What?
Vaday shalom. No, just like Borei, you wouldn't be able to do that.
What if you don't know, though? And then,
then it's okay, just like in Borei. Borei, let's say, so you're separating, I don't know, beans, whatever it is, and then you have some left over, that's for sure. Yeah, but if you plan on leaving over, that's a problem. Questions? Okay. Okay. All right.
Cool.
Let's go. Okay. Now everything is fine and dandy. We're all so happy. You can't do tochein Friday night for Shabbos day, but you can do tochein for the meal to come. We're all smiling. We're all happy-go-lucky. We're all going to go home, sharpen our knives, get ready for Shabbos so we can do tochein. But the Mishnah Berurah says, not so fast. Yesh mefak fakin al heter zeh. Some people are not the biggest fan of this heter of miyad when it comes to tochein. And the Beis Yosef, Kosav, the Beis Yosef himself says, "Sha'af mishem mechavein lechol miyad." Even though someone you might have in mind to eat miyad, gam kein yizaher lachtoch lechadichok gedolot tzat. Nonetheless, even for immediate consumption, cut the pieces a little bit bigger than you would during the week. So, if during the week when you make an Israeli salad, you make them size A. So make it A plus, make it a little bit larger. Make the piece a little bit larger. By making it a little bit larger, you avoid all questions of tochein. So even, again, think about it for a second. Mishnah Berurah is telling us, even within the realm of tochein miyad, even in the realm of grinding for immediate consumption, nonetheless, you should try to be careful to make the pieces a bit larger. Make the piece a bit larger. Yotzei kol hadeis and kol hashitos, shalom al Yisrael, and you will be ensured a one-way trip to Gan Eden.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say insured. Maybe you won't go to Gehenna for tochein. And with Tamzeh, I don't know about everything else. And with Tamzeh, kasvu kama achronim gam kein denachol hitnahei kemosh kasvu abis Yosef. That's why many achronim feel you should follow this approach. When we call makam, this is very important, this next line. I should have underlined it. I didn't. I apologize. When we call makam hanohagim lachtoch habitalim hatzanon dak dak. But nonetheless, if someone does cut onions or tznon, what's tznon?
Radish.
Yofi! If you do cut onions and radishes, dak dak, into little pieces, aim l'mechot b'yadam. If you see someone doing that, don't give him a hard time. D'yesh lehem al mi shi'yismochu. They have on whom to rely. Aval al kol panim asur la'asot ad yitziat beit ha'kneset de'be'inan samach l'su'uda. Nonetheless, don't forget about the idea of miyad, etc. So the Mishnah Berurah says, though, if people do not follow the Machmir opinion of the Beis Yosef, and they do cut it into small pieces for immediate consumption, then anything. Not only, I guess that was something that was popular in Poland. I guess it could have said food. I'm assuming it's a popular thing that people would have in those times. You'd be allowed to do it. So again, if you are in your house, you know, and you're going to your sister-in-law's house, so you don't really like, you know, you want to like pick on her. So this is not something to pick on her for. Like, give her a break. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why that's a weird example.
Yeah.
I love all my sister-in-laws. I have 5 of them. They're all wonderful people. Okay. None of them will ever hear this anyway, so I don't know why I have to adjust them. Well, one of them I don't. No, I'm just joking. I love them all. I like them all. Love is a very strong word. Okay. This is like I'm digging a hole here. When I was when I first started teaching Shalom, I was very young when I first started teaching Shalom with women. And what I used to do is, as like prizes, I used to, you know, it's like, whoever knows this answer, you know, you get 2,000 Tversky points. You know, this is it. So I used to, before my brother was married, whoever gets the answer, I'll ensure you a date with my brother. It didn't happen. Would have been nice to have a Shalvim girl as a sister-in-law. I should stop, no? What is that?
Nothing.
Okay. Dope. One of my sister-in-law's sister, though, did go to Shalvim for women.
Whoa.
So I keep that in mind. She went somewhere else, that one.
Whoa.
I don't know why, but okay. Okay. Shalvim wasn't open at that point. Okay. Okay, a question that does come up once in a while when it comes to Tochen and Borer is a million-dollar question people always ask. Can I do Borer for somebody else? You know, on someone else's behalf. For, you know, always in my family, my older brother is gross. I'll prove to you that he's gross. He likes to eat raisins. That's the proof. And mustard. Not together. The question always comes up, am I allowed to pull the raisins out of the challah to give it to my older brother? So the same question shows up with Tochen. The Mishnah Berurah says, the number, whatever it is over there, Huadin de'echad yachol achtoch l'tzarach acherim, you can dice and chop and cut for other people, v'hem yachlu miyad, so long as they're going to be eating it immediately, k'darmina le'el, it's a borer, just like borer. Yeah.
You're not changing the state of the raisin, and you could break a bread, and you could...
Say again?
Like, you're not changing the state of the raisin. It's just...
That's in terms of borer, not in terms of
right.
Tochen.
But even, when you really rip the time off...
If I pull out the raisin, right? For me, it's for him, it's ochel. Basically, it's mutter for me to pull out the raisin to give it to a bro.
Right.
Or any situation of borer. You want to separate the Chinese chicken from the Italian chicken, and they're all mixed together. An example. You have half of the... Your brother or anybody else. Yeah.
Isn't it not really the same example? Because for Boer, the reason that that's okay is because like the whole issue is Ochel Mitoch Psolet, and you're taking...
You're true. That's true. You're true. But the point being is that you have to do it on behalf of somebody else. You're right. It's not the best example.
I mean, when you're cutting salad for everyone, is that the only reason you're allowed to cut salad for your whole family, not just for you?
It's a good question. And the truth is, it's a question on the Mishnah Berurah, because he says very clearly the ale eats a borer. He's the one who draws the comparison very clearly to borer, but you're right. It's not exactly we'd have to maybe think about how it would be a good comparison, but off the top of my head, I can't think about it. I had the same question you have. Excellent. Okay. And the last issue here about Miyad, the Mishnah Berurah tells us towards the end over there, if you do chop up or cut up potatoes or vegetables into small pieces, like people do in front of animals and chickens, again, so even though you're going to be cutting the pieces to a little bit of a larger size, you have to make sure to still only do it samach l'seuda.
So is that matur for an animal?
Again, I'm not addressing it.
But what did he say? I think
he says that if you are cutting up your food for animals, you still also have to remember that there's an issue of miyad. Okay, so that basically brings the issue of tochen to a close, tochen per se to a close. We introduce the topic, we discuss some heterim in tochen elab gedulei karka, in tochen archa tochen and miyad, and the last issue that comes up with tochen, which is probably the most practical issue for many of us, is medicines, medications, trufot. The Gemara tells us, you guys with me? We need a little a breather break?
Oh, perfect. You have a story?
I can tell what you guys want your story is about.
Funny one.
Well,
I think you couldn't tell us before.
Probably at this point, you're probably... Yeah. At this point,
you said when we were older.
Yeah, still too little. For some of the stories.
Why?
Uh-oh. Mm. Have anything funny happened this year? You guys know all my good stories. You know my story about the girl fainting in the Shechita factory. You know my story about you know all my dating stories about the girl who ate too much food. And that story, you know.
Do you tell
stories? No. Never. All the time.
Can you tell Dr. Benji's story?
Tell a Dr. Benji. I don't have a Dr. Benji story off the top of my head either. We, although we are close in relationship, we our paths have not crossed in about, I don't know, 12 years. Meaning we see each other, but we're like a different, you know. You probably have seen him more recently than I have.
Yes.
All right, anything else? Let's see if funny things have happened this year.
It's not such a funny year.
I don't know. I have like cute stories about my kids, but those aren't, you know.
Heartwarming.
Heartwarming stories, yes, the kind that you don't react to, so. I'm sharing it with you. Okay. Truffaut medications. I'm feeling a little bit sick, actually. I think it's something. Truffaut medications. The Mishnah. This is in Masechet Shabbat, Dav Kuf Tet Amud Bet. Those who learned Daf Yomi, only a few blot away from this. The Gemara tells as follows: Ein ochlim izavion b'Shabbat. You may not eat izavion b'Shabbat. Izavion is some kind of a herb that is for healing purposes, and the reason why you can't eat on Shabbos is because it's not considered to be a food that a normal healthy person would eat. But you would be able to eat yoezer and drink ababuria because those seemingly are foods that healthy people would eat. So I guess what the Mishnah telling us over here is that anything that you ingest strictly for medicinal purposes, and its sole purpose is medicinal purposes, that would be a problem on Shabbos. But if you are eating something for medicinal purposes, and it's considered to be a ma'achal briyim, a food that a healthy person would eat, that would be okay. I think one example of that, people always nervous, oh, I have a cold, I have this vitamin C. So if you drink orange juice, not because you like the taste of that Tropicana going down your throat, you're drinking orange juice because you want to protect yourself with a vitamin C, it's a food that people would eat even if there aren't any health considerations. Same thing with what's the best cure for the common cold?
Chicken soup.
You'd be glad to have chicken soup even though you're having it for the cold. It's true. You know why? Why do you think chicken soup helps a cold?
Because it's got love in it.
And? I think it really does. What?
Liquid.
Because you eat it hot, you lean over the plate. Every time you have chicken soup and your stuffed nose, your nose gets drippy. Right? Clears the clear sinuses. I think. Or you drink something when you have a sore throat.
Steam is liquid.
Tea. That would also be mutter on Shabbos because ma'achal brim. It's a healthy thing. Even though you're ingesting it for medicinal purposes, nonetheless, it'd be mutter because it's considered to be food. Yes.
But why do we, anyways, eating things that are for making you feel better on Shabbos? Like if it's not an issue of
time. So we're going to say in 1 second. Good. Excellent. Yeah.
What if it's medicine that you have to take over like
a... So we get that also. Excellent question. Good. Tosh, okay. So where are we? Okay. Kol ha'ochel ochel adam refuah v'chol mashkim shoteh. Again, continuing that Mishnah. Any food you can eat as long as it's... Any food, that's a food. You can have it for refuah purposes. You can drink any drink. Chutz mi made the kolam mikos ikrim mipnei shehen li ruka, except for those two specific drinks because they're for specific healing purposes. Fine. Skip the, let's do it anyways. Next Gemara says, again, continuing with this idea of refuah b'shambis, of taking medications, behema sha'ach sadam, if you have an animal that has some kind of a blood disorder, we're on the last page of Mar Makomos. Ein ma'amidim al sabam mayim b'shvil shetitztanein, you shouldn't put that animal that has a fever or some kind of a blood issue, don't put it into cold water in order to cool it down. However, adam sha'ach sudam, if you have a person who's suffering from this disorder, ma'amidin oso b'mayim b'shvil shi'istanein, you can put him in a cool bath to cool down. Amra Ula says, hey, wait a minute. Or Ula says the reason why it's usher to put an animal in the water in order to cool the animal down, gezerim mishum schikat samamanim, we're afraid that if we allow you to put the animal into the cold water to cool him down, we're afraid of schikat samamanim. What's schikat samamanim? What is samamanim? We're afraid you're going to grind our herbs, going to grind drugs. We're afraid that if you let your animal in cold water to cool them down, you're gonna grind herbs. What's the catcher between that and grinding herbs? So jump down to Rashi. Rashi tells us very clearly, gezer mishum schikat samamanim, we're afraid you're gonna grind up the herbs. The meat of the refuah goes rabbanan, because it's refuah. Putting the animal in cold water is a form of refuah, it's a form of healing, and all healing on Shabbos is usher, because we're afraid that you're going to think it's okay to grind herbs. Why do you grind herbs? Grind herbs for medicinal purposes. So you may not do any sort of, again, we're going to discuss it more in a second. You may not grind up herbs on Shabbos. You may not let your animal sit in cold water on Shabbos because we're nervous that would lead you to grind herbs, grinding herbs for medicinal purposes. So the rabbis made a gigantic gezeira here. They said, we're so concerned about tochei. We're so nervous that you're going to grind up your herbs and your spices and your medicines and your flowers and your plants that you're not allowed to do any sort of healing, any sort of refuah on Shabbos, lest you come to grind up herbs. Yeah. Yeah.
You can do it for a person.
Okay, so basically you can't. The question is why only when it comes to cooling off the water, I didn't finish the end of the Gemara over there. When it comes to cooling off the water, that's mutter for a person because it's not so clear. That's like ma'achal brim. It's like having the orange juice. It'd be okay. But in general, all refuahs and asr shabbos. Thank you. That's a very important point to make. So that's Rashi. And the Gemara says in a different case, people always ask, hey, wait a minute, when I take medicine today, how many of you grind up your medicine before you take it today? Do you really need them? Do you really? No, you don't.
I actually just did for my friend the other day.
So in general, we don't really grind the medicine today. You go to the store and you buy your Advil or you buy your Tums or you buy your antibiotics, whatever it is that you buy. You don't grind it up today. So why is it still usher today if you don't grind it up today? So there are two answers to that question. One is provided by Rabbi Soloveitchik based upon the following Gemara. The Gemara Maseches Beitza Daf Hey Amud Aleph says, Kol davar shebe minyan tzarech minyan achar lahatiro. What does that mean? What's that concept? Yeah, Shosh, Talia. Kol davar shebe minyan tzarech minyan achar lahatiro.
If a gzera was made with like a minyan, then you need another minyan. It doesn't just
if
go away.
If a gzera was made by a beis din, you have to have a beis din of a higher stature, or equal or higher stature, who is mevatel that din. So Rabbi Soloveitchik says that the prohibition of taking medicine on Shabbos, it was a davarship of minyan, something that was established by a beis din, and in order to allow you to get rid of this gezer, you have to have a greater beis din than that beis din that made the gezer, which of course we will not find today. Chachamim made this gezer in times of the Gemara. It's very difficult to assume that anyone today is on that level to get rid of that gezer. Yeah.
So, like, back in the day when they were doing this, did they, like, make the medicine on the spot?
Cause, yeah,
like,
probably.
So you had to make the medicine on the spot.
You didn't have to. That's going to come, but Victoria asked before, that'll come into play.
From, like, any other food that was grinded up, that you
ground.
Could do off ground.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's fine. You ground up, like, that you could, let's say you can ground bread that day on Shabbos. But you do it beforehand. So why is medicine not like that also? Because you could have done it beforehand.
Okay, it's a great question. So that's when it comes up to taking medicine that's, like, part of a course of medication. You go to the doctor. Doctor said you have to take antibiotics for a week. You have strep. Or, I don't know, you have high blood pressure, cholesterol, and you have to take medicine to, you should miss it on Shabbos. If you miss one of your cholesterol pills or one of your blood pressure pills a week, you know, who knows what that's going to do to you. So the post can basically say that when you're taking something as part of a course, that's what they're to take on Shabbos. Because if you were taking something as part of the course of time of the Gemara, you also would have grounded in advance. So any medicine that's typed as part of a course, you'd be allowed to take. It comes up a lot. It comes up with, again, and any medication that you're taking on a long-term basis would be okay. Okay, question, yes?
Do vitamins apply also?
So we're going to read about vitamins in just a second. Okay, so before we get into vitamins, just want to make a couple other points in terms of... just two other points in terms of medication. One point is that when it comes to kids, we're very, very, very mako when it comes to... What is that? Very when it comes to children. So if you have a kid, certainly probably from the age of at least 7 or 8, maybe even younger, I think if the kid, no matter what the kid's suffering from, you're allowed to give him medication. Shabbos, very make cool about that. Another cool that comes up, again, generally you can't take medicine on Shabbos, unless it's part of a course. There are a bunch of other coolos. Another cool that exists is that, I think Rosh Hashanah mentioned, Rosh Hashanah Orbach mentioned that, is that if you're so sick that you have to be bedridden, if you can't function like a normal person, that's also a heter that comes into play. You know, so you have a terrible, terrible toothache, you have to lay in bed all day, so you can take Tylenol. You have a crashing migraine headache, so you could take the Advil, take whatever they take, that'd be okay. So at the end of the day, it turns out that the only time that it's usher to take the medication on Shabbos is if you have, like, it's a minor ache or pain, that you wouldn't be allowed to take the medication, or if you're starting the course of medicine. Doctor says you have to start taking antibiotics. Antibiotics is tricky, because that's like, you could be really sick. Doctor says you have to, I don't know.
Your acne medicine,
you're taking Accutane or any type of other pill like that, so it's probably not a good idea to start taking it on Shabbos. Better to take it, you know, start taking it after Shabbos. Other than that, you know, so again, if you're in tremendous pain, you do not take medication. Yeah?
About preventative medicine.
Okay, so Rosh Hashanah Zalman also discusses this. Let's say you don't have a migraine headache right now, but you feel like you have a migraine headache coming on. Like when I get
like
my headache.
Well, if you take it before, then it won't come, but if you wait, then
yes, that's also mutter. I get like blurry in one of my eyes and I'm about to get a migraine headache, so pop the pills. That's not going to be a problem on Shabbos either. Another hetter that Rav Shlomo Zalman mentions, I believe it's Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach mentions, is when it comes to kavod abrios. Kavod abrios, so you have terrible, terrible sniffles. You have the sniffles, and it's just your nose is a leaky faucet. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that for kavod abrios, it's also hetter to take medication Shabbos. So if you need to take your allergy medication, so you're not in shul, jab, sneezing all day, that would also be okay. And any, of course, any major sickness. I remember I once had a Shiloh, I think I probably related this to you. When I was a kid, I had, as you know, I had very, very bad acne when I was a kid. Like, I had cystic acne, I had cysts. I had like wells of pus underneath the skin of my face. That's not why I grew a beard. My mother gets very upset that I have a beard because she pays so much money to me to take Accutane. And then I cover it up with this beard. So I remember when I was a kid, one of the effects, I don't want to get too gory and gruesome, one of the effects of Accutane is that you get very dry skin, and I got very, very dry lips. You know, dry lips, you know, it's never good when you smile and blood starts spurting out. So I wanted to take...
Thank you.
So I put Vaseline on my lips in order to keep the lips moist. So I realized that I was a senior in high school, I was already getting a little bit frum, you know, so I realized that the problem on Shabbos to put on the lip balm. So I asked the rabbi, I don't want to see the rabbi is, it was very funny, I asked the rabbi, I said, am I allowed to put on, I said, I take very strong medicine for my acne pills, am I allowed to put on the Vaseline cream on my lips on Shabbos? I said, you should be asking a bigger question. The bigger question is, are you allowed to take the medicine on Shabbos? And he like looks at me, he's like, I think you could take the medicine on Shabbos. It's like, thanks, pal. And then after he said that, he said, I can't. He said, because of how dry my lips were and that I was taking medicine, I would be allowed to put the stuff on my lips, right, that I pat it on, I dab it on, I shouldn't smear it on. That in no way is a heter for any of you to smear on any type of lip stuff on Shabbos. And so you have to contact your local Orthodox rabbi to discuss when, if it's possible to use any types of lip ointment on Shabbos. That's neither here nor there. Okay. Questions? Anything else about medicines I want to say? No, that's all about medicine. Now we'll just read, we'll finish up, we'll read about vitamins on Shabbos. I guess I'll read, this is from a great article. This is Rabbi Chaim Jachter. He's a Rebbe in TABC. He's also my Rebbe in high school. I'll just tell you one story. I don't know if I told you, I might not have felt comfortable telling you a story when you were just babies. When I was with Rabbi Jachter, so I had it when I was a sophomore in high school. And he was giving us a shiur on payas, not on payas in terms of like the stuff like my son had, but like appropriate length of sideburns, appropriate length of sideburns. You know, we were already sophomore in high school, we were shaving, so what's the appropriate length of sideburns? So at that point, the first, you know, Beverly Hills 90210 was still cool, like the first one. We're talking about like with Brandon and Brenda and Dylan and all those characters. Exactly. Thank you. Make me feel old. That's okay. So the old, you can watch it on probably sold for you. Probably get it on YouTube. You don't have to watch like any of those other websites. So I had long sideburns. Yeah, I was like cool like that. I had long sideburns. So I remember I was a funny kid in those days, and I wasn't bashful and didn't have so much respect. So the rabbi called me up to the front of the classroom and he says, oh, you have great sideburns. Come up. So, you know, look at the sideburns, he was showing the class, you know, look how far it goes, so from. And he says, yeah, so from, you have a sideburn, create so from. I said, no, I don't. He said, why do you have a sideburn? I said, because the girls like the sideburn, that's why I have the sideburns. This is in front of the Gemara class. We've mended our fences since then. Baruch Hashem. Strike three. She's end right now. Happened to me.
Isn't it great how you can tell a whole bad joke but then just say one line?
It's true. You know, I have this fear. I had an aunt. I haven't actually passed away since. I had an aunt who was, it's okay. I had an aunt who was my father's oldest sister. My father's baby in the family. Oldest sister. It's old. Old. She died. And she was a third grade teacher in California for well over 40 years. So, before she wasn't married, she didn't have any kids, so she lived by herself, and she was a fourth grade teacher for like 40 years, and once in a while, she'd come to New York, you know, get together with the family, and, you know, by the time, you know, towards the end of her life, she spoke to everybody as if she was speaking to third graders. She did it for so long. Hi, how are you? Great to see you, Johnny. How's everything going? You know, so I have this fear that I will, for the rest of my life, like, act and talk a certain way, and
try times that you talk to
what's the way
girls?
You talk to seminary girls.
I guess so. I'm very nervous about that, so you know, trying to be sophisticated. Not that seminary girls aren't sophisticated; they're incredibly sophisticated. Each every one of them. Do not know where I'm going with this. Taking medicine on Shabbos, Rav Chaim Jachter, Kol Torah, Volume 10, Number 15. You can subscribe to this on the internet. I get the weekly emails every week from TABC.
Weekly.
I interviewed a girl. I once in a while you hear once in a while girls say covering the microphone. Once in a while girls say funny things in interviews. The worst one this year was I interviewed a girl and I went to, I was in a co-ed high school performing interviews, doing interviews. And I commented to the girl, "Hey, I haven't been in this building since I played on the TABC basketball team." The girl smiled, "Oh my god, all my friends go to TABC." So I guess I'm sure everyone has friends who are boys, but like you're looking for a little sensitivity. Taking medicine on Shabbos or Chaim Jack to call Torah volume 10 out of 15. I don't think this recording is going on. There are three major opinions regarding the question of whether one is permitted to take vitamins on Shabbos. Rav Yosef Adler cites Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, who permits taking vitamins on Shabbos because they are ma'achal b'riyim, says you're allowed to. The Rav said you can take vitamins on Shabbos because of ma'achal b'riyim. I take my omega-3, those of you who take whatever, your multivitamins. People of, it's always prenatal pills. Yeah, pills, Shabbos, mother,
everyone stare at them.
Everyone, just a little health advice. Once you get married, what's that?
She's like, why is everyone
me? Once you get married, everyone of childbearing age, it's good vitamins. Prenatal pills are very good. I remember when I was we were just married and we were in Florida and we had a big shiloh about whether Neely was she was pregnant at the time. So we were pregnant at the time. We were in Florida for Pesach and we had a shiloh about taking the prenatal pills. We didn't. Neely had a shiloh taking the prenatal pills on Pesach. Like, what do you do? So we asked the rabbi there in Florida, who said it was, this is not going to be a funny story, who said it was mutter. And then something very funny happened. Okay, so Rav Yosef Adler quotes Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, who permits taking vitamins on Shabbos because they are ma'achal b'riyim. Shmir Shabbos kehilchasa forbids one to take vitamins in ordinary circumstances. Rav Moshe Feinstein adopts a compromise approach. He rules that if a weak person wishes to take vitamins to strengthen himself, then it is forbidden. However, Rav Moshe believes that it is permissible for a healthy individual to take vitamins or to prevent illness. So if you take vitamins, Rav Moshe says this, if you take vitamins, you take vitamin C every day, I don't even know if it works, but if you take vitamin every single day because it's flu season, you're afraid of getting a cold, that's fine. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that. Okay.
Yeah, which one? It's just.
Oh, I'm going to get there in 1 second. What's that?
It's so counterintuitive. Like, the person who's going to get sick and die, they're not allowed to. But the person who's fine.
No, if you're going to get sick and die, of course you're allowed to, right?
Because never. Okay, but a weak person who wants to take it because, like, let's say it's flu season and they have the flu and they are an old person or something.
So again, if they would. I hear. The reason why it's not counterintuitive, because the reason, if a healthy person takes it, I think what he's saying is, if a healthy person takes it, then it's not necessarily considered to be a vitamin, it's considered to be a food. It comes to food. Okay, let's continue the next paragraph. These opinions stem from a dispute between the Beis Yosef and the Mogen Avraham regarding how to interpret a passage in the Torah. The Torah writes that if a healthy individual eats or drinks the medicine to satisfy his or her hunger or thirst and he is not ill, then it's permitted. The Torah says you can eat or drink medicine to satisfy your hunger or your thirst. So those of you who are sick, I mean sick in the head, not sick physically, and you like pop Advil because you like the candy coating, that's weird. But again, if it's the type of thing that a normal person does, that'd be fine. The Beis Yosef writes that the rabbinic decree to refrain from taking medicine on Shabbos does not apply to a healthy person. The Magen Avraham, however, limits the Torah to a case where the person is taking the medicine purely to satisfy his hunger or thirst. It is forbidden, though, if he is taking the medicine because of health considerations. So machlok is between the Beis Yosef and the Magen Avraham. Beis Yosef says that the rabbinic decree against taking medicine does not apply to a healthy person, whereas the Magen Avraham says it does. Rav Soloveitchik appears to follow the ruling of the Beis Yosef, which Rav Yosef Karo seems to follow in the Shulchan Aruch. On the other hand, the Mishnah Brura of the Aruch HaShulchan rule in accordance with the Magen Avraham. So big machlokes. If you follow Shulchan Aruch, who says that healthy people can take vitamins on Shabbos, or do you follow the Mishnah Brura of the Aruch HaShulchan, who says healthy people cannot take vitamins on Shabbos? Rav Moser also rules in accordance with the Magen Avraham, but he limits the Magen Avraham to a case where one takes the medicine to improve his health. Rav Moshe argues that the Magen Avraham's ruling does not apply when a healthy person takes medicine merely as a preventative measure, like the case of the vitamin C. Shmir Shabbos B'Hilchos rules that the Magen Avraham's ruling applies even to medicine taken as a preventative measure. So Shmir Shabbos takes even a more machmir approach and says don't take medicine at all, even if it's preventative. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach permits taking vitamins to prevent becoming ill to the point that one is permitted to take medicine. So if you're going to get so sick that you have to take medicine, then Rav Moshe says you have to take, Rav Shlomo Zalman says you have to take the vitamins. Rav Shlomo Zalman permits taking vitamins if one takes them in place of food, like, I don't know, maybe that applies to like those Ensure shakes. One might be permitted to drink Ensure on Shabbos based upon this ruling. So again, vitamins is a fierce debate about vitamins. Certainly, if you are a healthy person, according to some posts, you can be allowed to take vitamins on Shabbos, whereas according to other posts, you cannot. Halacha l'maaseh, what should you do? You should obviously ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Feel free to BBM me, WhatsApp me, or send me an email. I'll tell you my approach to the matter. We'll do a quick review of what we discussed today. We began with defining tochein. Big parts to little parts. Then we said, ain't tochein ela b'gedulei karka. Tochein only applies to the growth from the ground. Why is cheese a problem? Because of the grater. Ain't tochein achar tochein. Something that was already ground, you can regrind. And we discussed heter miyad. It applies to borer and it applies to tochein as well. So if you are cutting vegetables, even miyad, try to cut them a little bit larger. Then we discussed medication. It says in general, you can't take medication on Shabbos, but it's really only limited to various, very minute circumstances, like starting a course of medication on Shabbos if you're not really that sick, or taking a medicine when you have a little ache. But if you're so sick you'd be bedridden, you have to take the medicine, or anything you're taking as part of a course would also be mutar. And I think that's it. Any questions anyone have? Okay, great to see and to learn and to be with everybody. No. What do I press? Stop?
Stop.